Welcome to the Back Porch Education Podcast, a show where we talk about how to educate ourselves and those we love. Today, is education a game show? Get your education. Back Porch Education. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Everybody, I've got some bad news. I have been ousted as the bringer of the poem for this episode.
And just this episode.
Yeah. Right. You're just this episode.
Your position is not in great risk.
Okay, good. I'll sleep a little easier tonight. But Steve, you brought the poem today, so I'm not going to step on your toes. Go for it. You tell me what's going on there.
Well, I don't know much about our poet, a guy named Mark Evan Johnston, but I scan the horizons of the internet on a regular basis and somehow or another arrived at what seems to be the poet corner of someone who teaches. And he states on this blog page that has his poetry, "I write poems to compensate for what my heart can't say and head can't think. Somehow the language, which has been around for longer than I have, proves durable and fertile." And, you know, just a warning. I'm not saying this gentleman, all his poetry is worthy of the top shelf. I just came across this poem, and in particular, what caught my eye was his underneath the title "Game Show Host" is a quote from a former student who said, "When I was growing up, all I ever wanted to be was a game show host," end quote. Mm. And that caught my eye. And so then I read the poem. It's longer than we would usually do on this podcast, although we have intentions of longer poems down the road.
That's here.
Hey. But I'm going to do the first portion of it. It's got Roman numeral distinctions throughout it. I'm doing Roman numeral one. It's just a few lines, but I think it sets us up for what we want to talk in metaphor today. A poem is a great place to start with metaphor, and I think this one gets us going down that road. Mm-hmm. So Game Show Host by Mark Evan Johnston. Just the first part. It's true. My world is false. My makeup gives me lips I never had, eyes more almond-shaped than I've ever dreamed of, and skin that shows no trace of zit or razor. My suit hides flab and wrinkles. The angle of the camera hides equipment, prompters, mise-en-scene from other sets. The counters the contestants sit behind hide polyester pants, brown shoes, broken zippers, laddered hose. There's glitter everywhere. Teeth shine, necklaces glimmer, pendants glow, rings glance, lights illumine and reflect, dresses shimmer. Smiles are everywhere in this happy world. Oh, happy, happy, happy world.
Hmm. Okay.
Say something about the vocative O. Yeah.
Well, I can go from there. Oh. So, in what I learned in poetry class is that there's three kind of sections. You know the Roman numerals. We call those movements in poetry class. So this first movement of the poem is, I don't know, it's provocative in terms of how he's calling, he's pointing to all of the fake things, right? Everything faux pas is hidden. Everything that is less than ideal is disguised or given some kind of cream or some fix, right? Everything is made perfect for the illusion of reality. And so, yeah, I mean, that's that. This is a really good poem to kind of start our conversation, I think, because our poet, Mr. Johnston here, is really hamming up or really honing in on that notion of fake reality, right?
Yeah, yeah. And all of reality, as we've talked about with our Plato show some time ago, you know, all of reality is there and real. We have to somehow see it. And I think this gentleman is, of course, he's reacting to a student who said, all I ever wanted to be when I was growing up was a game show host. What's wrong with you, boy? Mm-hmm. You know, my hope for students is that they're, whatever they are, and I think they could be a game show host without me being disappointed in it. But to be real, to be authentic, mm-hmm. is more difficult the more into media we go. Right.
Right.
For a writer, even, it's difficult because he's often tempted, and it's not necessarily a bad temptation, but he wants to write like Hemingway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with imitating great writing, but you don't want to become that writer. You can't become that writer. You don't want to seem to be trying to be someone you're not. You need to find your voice.
Yeah.
And I think no matter what you're getting into, the metaphor of a game show, and our question tonight, is education a game show? Depends on the metaphor. I think we've all watched at least one episode of Price is Right or Jeopardy or something like that. And
Family Feud.
There you go. A great example of It's all in the work done prior to the show and then the reaction in the moment. And it's funny to me that particular game show is funny because they're pulling not just the world, but these two families that are competing with each other. And in a moment, they have to try and think like everybody else. And you can tell just putting a camera on somebody raises the fear level. But now I've got to quickly, especially when they get to the timed round, the speed round at the end or whatnot, I've got to think fast, and it's hard, and I get flustered or whatnot. Right. So, I want to extend this notion of a game show in whatever ways that it applies to the classroom, to learning, to education as it's done today, and in particular, try and steer us towards, you know, how are points kept in this game? What's on the contestants? How do you win the show? Those kinds of questions.
That's a big thing, right? Winning, yeah. So, okay, the first thing I want to draw out might derail us before we even get on the track, but you said Jeopardy, I said Family Feud, and I think even just right out of the gate, there's something important to notice about those two game shows. I mean, this is like Pilgrim's Progress level analogy here, or allegory. So if you're not into that, whatever, but going for that, notice that with Jeopardy, what we have is the game is based on sort of like universally agreed upon facts, and Family Feud, the game is based on
popular sort responses.
Of what a survey of what 100 people said. Yeah, exactly. So you win Jeopardy by reading encyclopedias. You win Family Feud by hanging out on the street, you know, and like talking with people, like by going to work and just being in popular culture. And so if you employed either strategy for the other game, it would not work.
Right, right.
Like, you're not going to, you're only going to become frustrated if you read encyclopedias in your run-up to the to your family being on Family Feud. You're not doing the right sort of preparation. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I had a friend try to get on Jeopardy. It's a pretty smart okay. guy. He was an assistant principal under me at some point in my past when I was a principal. And a smart guy, young guy. He was from Vegas. And so they had taken a trip down. I guess most of these game shows are at least he was in Hollywood where some of these shows are recorded, and tried to get on Jeopardy, and couldn't. I mean, he passed the test, but they had too many contestants that day. And I said, "Well, did you go back?" And he said, "No, we went across the hall, and I was on Wheel of Fortune," which still requires, I guess, some yeah. ability to intuit what the words are up there. But there's actually, he showed me footage of him, you know, he was on there and he even had a little bit of a nest egg build up, and then he hit the bankruptcy thing and it was like,
But did he make it onto TV?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. He was on an episode of but that was just the notion. I didn't make it on Jeopardy. So I walked across the hall and was on Wheel of Fortune. And I was like, well, not necessarily two of the same thing, but
right.
Anyway. Let's get to the metaphor that you've set up for us, that you've got to know the game you're playing mm-hmm. and have, I think in particular, we're speaking to parents at this present moment. There has to be a strategy. There has to be an understanding of what's going on, what you want out of the game of education, and, you know, what your priorities are, to me, that's a strategy.
Yeah.
And I think it's different for every child. I mean, there's some things that are going to be the same every
hopefully.
Time, but I mean, knowing your child well enough to know what their strengths and weaknesses are, and knowing how to, just like in a game, play to the strengths and mitigate the effects of the weaknesses. To me, that's not. So the poem was acting like a game show is fake. I don't think we want to watch a game show where the makeup and lighting and et cetera are not handled properly. You know what I mean? I don't think we want ugliness
right.
in front. We tune out of the show. I can see this at home, you know, but,
right.
I think that especially in a school setting, there's a necessary set of rules. There's a process by which education is going to go well. And a breakdown of that process, it's going to go poorly. And so there's a whole yeah. wall of possibilities to talk about facing me. And I'm not sure which panel to poke, but.
Well, let's hop into just kind of maybe some different tracks that you could take or whatever, because I agree, Steve, with what you're saying, that essentially, look, the system basically relies on everybody having the mentality that if you just do whatever you did when you were a kid for your kid, everything will be fine and you'll get your kid where you want them. And, you know, it's no big deal. Or they won't get in and they'll have to go somewhere else or whatever. For say, this doesn't even apply just to college. I mean, this is for competitive private schools and charter schools and magnet schools and
yep.
All of that, right? Like the system essentially says, just plug your kid into the nearest public school, let us handle it from here, and we'll return them to you at a later date and they'll be fine, just like you're fine. And if that's a strategy that works for you, then okay. Like, I don't want to talk you off of that. But if you have goals for your child that are different than, you know, the norm, I'm just saying that you don't want to use the normal strategy. There are lots of other things that you can do, right? What you don't want is to end up in a situation where you felt like you don't know what's going on, or your child is wasting or losing time. And so by knowing where you're going, you're going to find out how to get there, but it's not until you know where everybody's needs to end up.
Well, almost every game show's got the objective is to gain the most points, the highest dollar amount. You know, right. A lot of game shows, of course, aimed at the making of money, which mm-hmm. in and of itself might be a metaphor for education these days. But from your point of view, is it grades, I guess, that's the point system for the game show?
Grades are an important point. A very important aspect of the point system. Yeah, for sure.
So we have, I guess, the end points that you're looking for is this GPA, as mm-hmm. close to a 4.0 as possible. These days, of course, with weighted GPA, taking mm-hmm. Advanced level courses, advanced placement AP courses or honors levels courses or whatnot. You know, I've known students graduate with higher than a 4.0.
Sure.
Because you get extra points for taking the harder right. stuff.
Right.
And we've talked about recently the fact that that number may not always, it always requires interpretation. Mm-hmm. I think generally speaking, a GPA at least indicates somebody who's learned how to play the game well.
Yes.
I don't know how much more than that it indicates. I don't know how it relates necessarily to wisdom and virtue. It may, but they've at least been canny enough to go to succeed at this game. As I understand it, I got to have a high GPA, so I'm going to accentuate my strengths, seek tutorial help or you know, work my way around the difficulties. Mm-hmm. if foreign language is my bag, I'm going to take as much of that as I can. If math isn't, I'm going to deal with my knowledge of myself in a way that GPA stays as high as it possibly can, even with my weaknesses in place.
Right. Yeah, and whether or not that's good or bad is of not much import at right now. All we're saying is, or all I want to say about that is, it's effective. That's an effective strategy. And what I mean is, it helps you get what you want. Steve, going back to what you just asked about grades and wisdom and virtue, I think that you would have to go to the teacher who gave the student an A and say, hey, what does your grading system have to do with wisdom and virtue? And if they look at you like, what? Well, then probably not much. If they think, I don't know, but I do want to say that it's in some way connected. Well, then perhaps it is. The grade may or may not, but that's an effective strategy, right? This idea of moving, like understanding yourself and hopping into the classes that are going to allow you to put up the best final number for your GPA.
All right. Well, and I want to talk about the fact that just as in a game show, you have a contestant, a host, and an audience. There's different perspectives coming in with education as well, and I want to pursue that part of the metaphor if we can.
Okay.
The perspective of the showiness of education changes a little bit depending. I think most of what we've talked about so far is aimed towards a parent who probably mm-hmm. feels as though they are a spectator, but they're the family out in the crowd, right?
Right.
The camera always pans over and they all stand up and yell and everything. They're cheering, but the contestant is the student. And I don't think education's healthy if the student only feels like it's a game.
Good.
They need to feel that there's worth to this. But I think that if they don't like the fact that there's a game-like feel to it, that's also going to cause frustration with school, because there are rules, there's a process here, and a lot of hopefully what you learn in school, skill wise, art wise, is going to stick with you the rest of your life. But some of the things, you know, learning how to take Cornell type notes, or how to work your way through a multiple choice question or something like that, are skills that are directly related towards formal schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes kids, and sometimes the school itself, the game show itself, emphasizes that aspect to the point where the kid feels like I'm trapped in a game show, and starts to feel like the poem we read that,
right.
that is fake. This is
right. All of these rules are arbitrary.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think that, as you said earlier, part of this discussion is aimed at the game show host, the teacher, who has to keep the game going, right?
Yeah.
He's got expectations on him from the parents, from his administrator, and even from the student. Every teacher has gone through the experience of having to try and teach students how to play the game within his context. And you go right next door from my English class to the science lab, the game changes. It's not the same exact, and it can't be the same thing. And so the game show host is the guy that's trying to relate. And I know the problem with our metaphor is that we emphasize when we watch a game show, we know Pat Sajak isn't that interested in who the contestants are and that sort of thing, but he's asking them a few questions. He's trying to relate to them. He's trying to personalize it. He's trying to put them at ease. He's trying to get them familiar enough with the surroundings that they can play the game. And I think that's a worthwhile part of the metaphor, that a lot of what the game show host, the teacher's job is to set up a safe place to learn with clear expectations, rules, to have it mapped out enough that the student isn't just sitting there, the contestant, as it were, isn't just standing there not sure when to mash his button or not sure when to say something because the game show host hasn't led them like he ought to.
Yeah. Okay, dude, so one thing that I love about metaphors is the ambiguity of them, or just the, manifold sort of interpretations that necessarily come out of them. Because you saying that the teacher is the host I hadn't even considered that. For me, like when I was thinking through that, this metaphor, I was more focused on
the contestant.
Well, no, actually, that like either the college entrance reps, right? Like admissions counselors or potential employers.
You're
not going the college route. No, them as the host, but actually like that sort of group as the consumers of the show, like as the audience, right? And so then that would leave the students still as the contestants, right? But the host would be something more like, I don't know, in some respects the school, I guess, but actually it's more like admissions guides, or just people who are kind of like the talking heads of education,
like college board or something. The people,
yeah, like college
setting
board,
up the tests, and
or like Back Porch Education podcast.
Yeah, so if only we had that power.
Right.
Well, so here's why I chose to me. If we're going to use the metaphor, what are the big points of a game show anyway, is the end result.
Yeah.
Like most of them are playing for money or to win a trip or to be the champion or something like that. And, you know, so what's behind the curtain then? What is behind curtain number one? If you win the education game, what do you get out of it?
Okay. Yeah. I want to answer that, but I want to say before we move on that your, when you put the teacher in the role of host, what I really love about that working of the metaphor is the agency or the power that is given to the teacher to help a student and to affect like real lasting consequence in their life. So I love that.
And now, let me go ahead and mm-hmm, take us mm-hmm. further away from what we're talking about.
Great.
By making the teacher the game show host, then you come up with this parlor game for professional development in schools. Which game show host are you? And then it's Chuck Woolery or
Alex
Trebek. Everybody wants to be Alex.
Yeah. Or Pat of course.
Sajak or Drew Carey, heaven right. forbid. That's probably who people would. or Bob Barker, you know, and then
Bob Barker.
And then you're off into the whole what's the golf movie with Adam Sandler?
Sandler. I almost went there, but I thought, well, I better not.
If you think you better not, then you know I will. So, right. So I do think that the part of the beauty of a metaphor is that it can be come at from a number of different ways. There's a number of different audiences, a number of different contestants, a number of different game show hosts that fit the metaphor when you're talking about mm-hmm. education. Mm-hmm. But let's wind ourselves up at the end. You know, if I go on Wheel of Fortune and I'm good at spinning and figuring out what those crazy letters are and buying vowels at the appropriate moment, you know, and get both halves of the mm-hmm. car, for instance, at the end,
yeah,
I've got money, I've got maybe a car or a trip. I walk out of there after signing a form for Uncle Sam. where most of what I've won, I get to keep.
Sure.
And that's a fascinating aspect of the metaphor to me is I think that there are contestants in the education game who, if they don't hit bankruptcy, they only get sort of the consolation prize. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They don't get much out of the education game. And I don't even know if it's always because they've been playing it wrong. I think various things have not made it permanent for them, whereas others seem to revel in the education game, come out of it with all kinds of prizes, obviously come out of it with diplomas, come out of it with opportunities
sure.
that game has provided them that they would have never had they not played the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff, man. I feel like we just scratched the surface. And what I really want to do as we're kind of drawn to a close here is put it to our audience and say, if this metaphor was generative for you, if this was helpful and you would like to hear us talk more about it, because I know I can anyway. There's a lot of stuff that we haven't, you know, gotten into yet. Let us know, and we'll go for it. If not, if we don't hear anything, we'll just move on to the next thing. But, there's a lot.
It's a good
here.
General plea. We do value our audience and want to hear from you.
Yeah.
You've got the ability to make comments mm-hmm. through Facebook, which we do read. And, you also have the yep. ability to make comments on our website, so please keep the conversation going. We do view it as a conversation that includes you, not just the two of us. And we'd be glad to mm-hmm. to have your input, help us find the right topics to talk about. We'll talk about anything.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
And Jason, believe it or not, has a poem for just about anything. And if it if it doesn't fit, he'll read it anyway.
That's right. So, I have
maybe some suggestions of poems is where we'll get.
Hey, bring it on.
Be like my students with the poetry recital, they'll be they'll be finding as short of, you know, they'll be sending in little five liners for here, have Jason read this one.
There you go. Perfect. Great. All right, guys. Well, until next time, always remember RSTLNE.
Don't eat your vegetables!